Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, this week from a sewage pipe in Sirte. Coming up on this week's show, ice cream sandwich, silly name, wonderful OS. We'll give you a potted press conference with all you need to know. BlackBerry BBX OS is also announced, along with a package of sweeteners for disgruntled customers. You ask, is it enough? Shoot now, focus later. That's always been our motto. Sadly, it hasn't done much for our snaps. Until now, that is, as we meet the world's first light field camera. Plus, we'll be taking a leaf through the new T3 magazine with the award winners. All that, and whatever else we can summon up. And by we, I mean the lovely Adam the Boy Bunker, not always described as lovely, and the man who's big
is by me.
Big in Guatemala. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
What's big in Guatemala?
Well, you are. You are. Number one.
Number one with a bullet. But in what sense?
You're like the Hasselhoff of Guatemala.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I like going on Al Jazeera, because I like to fantasize that in the Middle East, I'm like a sort of icon.
There's like shrines.
But I never meet people from the Middle East, so I don't know. Like I might meet somebody from Qatar, and they'd be like, oh, Duncan Bell, in my country we call you...
Duncan Bell.
The techie man.
Yeah, it's some kind of ancient statue with
your
face on it.
You are the king of the technology, the Western technology in our country.
How racist is this game?
They sound a lot like...
I can't do accents.
Borat.
It's not racist, it's just an accent.
I don't even know where Guatemala is. I've got an A-level in geography.
I gave up on Guatemala and went for Middle East.
Okay. Anyway, Duncan, another dictator toppled. You must be feeling uneasy by now.
I like the way that
it's your turn next.
That was like in the 1970s when people used to die or get injured in police custody. The things that the kind of rebel forces were coming up with is, oh, well, he fell down the stairs onto a big pile of guns, and that's how he died. I mean, we know he'd arrested him.
Died in crossfire.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, we found him in a drain.
Crossfire.
He called us rats, but he was the one who ended up in a drain. It's like because we have loads of drains by the roads in Libya that you can go and take shelter in. Or maybe you can. I've not been to Libya.
Well,
contrived.
He got done the NATO airstrike, sort of totaled his convoy, and then the only place he could go was that little drainage. Like, if you look, it's just desert and a road, and underneath the road is a little drainage. So it's like, it's basically...
So he was taking shots.
He turned into a three-year-old playing hide and seek. He looked around and went, ah, here we are.
I tell you what, this is Matt Hill, T3's Matt Hill's point rather than mine, but you know people... blame violence and stuff on computer games and whatever. Have you seen the pictures they're putting in the papers this morning of Gaddafi? So like horrific. If you're young, that is going to influence you more. Yeah,
could have airbrushed it. You know, sort of.
Most of those rebels do look like video game players. They're not like kind of Mujahideen style. You know, like kind of really cool, tooled up looking. They're like kind of kids in sweatshirts. And,
yeah, they're those guys
sort of
out of
that, like, they run.
They're the guys out of Counter Strike that run with AK-47s at the hip.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
There's a lot of posing going on in this kind of revolutionary war in Libya. Like, every time you turn it on, there's like somebody casually firing off a few rounds from the hip. Mm. Not actually at anything.
No.
Yeah.
Just for the benefit of the camera.
Guy on the back of a lorry just holding an AK in the air. Like, because he knows he's on camera, so he's celebrating.
At least they've stopped firing into the air now. After
dangerous.
21 people got killed in one night in Tripoli because of people firing into
the air. Well, that's what happens when you kind of, you know, forget that physics exists.
There is that. So a bad week for Gaddafi, Duncan. How about
quite
you?
A bad, yeah, I yeah. think it's fair to say a
yeah.
bad week.
Yeah, as yeah. they go. How about you?
Oh God! Well, I just got off the phone, and I think I know why Facebook is so rich, because this is the only. It's because they've entered into a kind of satanic pact with mobile phone providers. Mm-hmm. Because if you've got Facebook on your phone, it's constantly sort of receiving data and what have you. Well, me and James, we went to Chicago for about 3 days a couple of months ago, and he's just got his bill. And he swears that he had data turned off entirely. I don't know if he had data turned off, but he wasn't using his phone for anything. But he somehow, like Orange, have decided that he's run up a bill of £900.
What?
£900.
Blimey.
Oh!
And they didn't even, I don't know, I mean, I don't really know how these things are supposed to work, but they just literally took it out of his bank account, the direct debit, like
what,
in
without,
the usual
without
kind of
even
way.
Consulting.
Yeah, without saying, oh, by the way, we're going to take 900 quid out of your bank account this month.
That's ridiculous.
That's heavy. You see, I was in America, I turned off data and I'd occasionally put it on just to quickly check something or something like that, and I racked up 138 quid. That was pretty bad.
I think, to be honest, Orange have just... I don't know. I just think that's beyond the pale.
That's beyond.
Like if somebody's taking the piss and just literally like, oh, I'm going to download loads of music whilst in America and then, but.
It is.
How can you put, like, they said, oh, you downloaded like 200 megabytes of stuff in 3 days. You couldn't do that in this country.
Could it be the case that if he had data roam turned off, but like Facebook kind of push notifications on, then it might have been grabbing that data through like 2G?
I don't know.
At an incredibly slow rate.
I don't know, but I think on an iPhone it turns off data full stop.
Yeah,
it doesn't just turn off 3G.
If you've got data roaming off, you're.
But the thing is, like, these fuckers, they're like, oh, well, you know...
Don't mince your words, Duncan.
You should be aware of how much we charge for data. And it's like, well, yeah, perhaps you should be aware of how much they charge today, but then maybe you shouldn't be charging £10 for a bloody megabyte.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, say what you like about O2, and they are also shit, but they do at least send you a text saying, do you know you're on data roaming? You've run up a bill of £50 in the 12 minutes that you've been in the country since touching down.
They have to do that in Europe, but they don't have to do that in the US.
Right.
You see?
So I've never liked Orange anyway, and now I despise them even more.
Oh, there we are. Right. Well, on to our top story, and it is the arrival of Ice Cream Sandwich and the Google Nexus announced at a press conference in Hong Kong this week. It was delayed because of Steve Jobs' death, so hence the impromptu one in Hong Kong.
That was unusually, considering that Samsung and Apple have been going at each other, hammer and tongs for the last...
Yeah.
It was quite respectful.
Quite magnanimous, yes.
If I was a cynical person, I'd almost think, they suddenly realised, oh, this ain't quite ready yet.
Yeah, or they won't be getting any publicity, or it'll be bad publicity. I'm sure there was some sort of calculation that went on. I may as well ask this. iPhone killer?
Well, I don't even...
It's irrelevant, isn't it? I think it's if you like Android phones, you'll like that one a lot. That's kind of it.
I kind of feel like all those phones aren't really in competition with the iPhone just because they're a different shape.
They're enormous.
Yeah, just the big screen thing almost straight away puts it in
big,
a different...
This, is it? Because it's such a tiny bezel. It's a very thin bezel. Around the screen, so their claim is that we've made the screen bigger, but the phone isn't that much bigger. It's still
unlike on the iPhone bigger, where the bezel is like some sort of frame on a Renaissance portrait.
Well, yes.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's the main thing that that puts me off the current generation of Android phones, apart from the fact that I don't particularly like Android, is that they do all seem to be going for the let's have a very large screen kind of thing. Which I don't know.
Something the other day that was made a good point in that saying. Because everyone seems to be jumped on this big screen equals amazing type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the article I read made the good point that on an iPhone size screen, you can hold it in one hand and touch every part of the screen with your thumb.
That's the claim that they've made with this. I mean, that's why I've got the Desire S. I've mentioned this a few times, but I like the size of it.
But that's a normal size screen.
Size screen. Galaxy S2. I know it's not a major thing, but if you're holding it in one hand, you can't touch the top right corner.
No, that's exactly why I don't like big screens.
And it's not also as if the fact that it's 4.7 inches across doesn't mean like, oh, now I feel like I'm in an IMAX when I'm watching clips on YouTube.
It's 720p, which it's the first high def screen in a phone.
Yeah.
Well, the iPhone 4's one isn't far off, is it?
No, not far off, but it's not quite. You know what I mean?
But that's just a number, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. They're like pushing up the pixel count so they can say, oh, well, now it's 720p.
Mm.
But really? I mean, does not it make probably. That much difference?
I just had to like. Did you see the marketing video that they pushed out with the Nexus and the ice cream sandwich that was like the Android on like Tron light cycles.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that kind of, to me, that just says exactly what Android... I mean, Steve Ballmer earlier in the week was like, oh, he needs to be a computer scientist to work Android. You don't, but there is that element of going, but that's just so nerdy. Okay, it's the nerdiest marketing thing I've ever seen.
It's true, but what they've tried to do in this one is they said as much themselves. They said, look, people like Android... They don't love Android.
And he was
touching on something that it's like, well, no, they like how powerful it is, but they don't really know how to get at all that power. So it's kind of nerds really love it. I think nerds do love it. But most people don't love Android in the same way they perhaps love Apple iOS. So what they've done is they've to an extent gone back to the drawing board and tried to make it lovable.
I think with that video, though, it's almost to me, I don't know whether the nerdy set really like Android because they don't have the kind of marketing finesse and loveliness that Apple has, or whether, you know, it's vice versa. They kind of market it to that because they know that's their following.
Well, the entire press conference was an hour long. Now, I tend to find there's a lot of filler in these events. So
just a bit.
So what we've done is sped things up a little, and here in precisely 2 minutes is the entire thing. Okay, ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kim Titus.
We asked ourselves for the first time, what is the soul of Android? Meet Roboto. It's a totally new typeface for Android. So we've taken all that core navigation, including back and home, and made them part of the Android software UI. And best of all, widgets are now resizable. Folders are a powerful feature a lot of people already love on Android. But an ice cream sandwich, we've made them dead simple to use. So we gave the keyboard a lot of love in ice cream sandwich. It's more accurate and more responsive, and it got a makeover as well. One of the most popular ways to enter text on Android has always been our talk-to-type feature. In Ice Cream Sandwich, we're making this feature even better by making it instant. With Ice Cream Sandwich, we've invented a totally new approach to securing your device. We call it Face Unlock.
Offline search. By default, you're now able to search the last 30 days of email instantly, whether you're connected or not. You can now pinch to zoom in to see more detail, or you can zoom out back again to see an overview of your day. In Ice Cream Sandwich, we've added a powerful set of photo editing tools, Panorama. We've done something about those long-winded voicemails. You can now speed up. Android Beam makes it easy to share pretty much any content between Android devices.
And again, thank you all for being here.
Oh, thank you all for being here, yes.
Wow.
So there we go.
Thank you for sharing. To be fair, you could do that with this podcast as well. Yeah. You could take all the umming and ahhing.
I think you could do that with all 205 of these podcasts.
Well, actually, you could do it with all media, I think.
Possibly.
Everything could just be condensed down.
So there we go, in 2 minutes. But that's quite a lot there.
Good
really,
stuff.
When
all
you boil
stuff.
It
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the really basic stuff. The calendar looks so much nicer than the old calendar. And that pinch to zoom thing... is that actually works quite nicely. Basically, you see your normal view, you pinch to zoom in,
yeah.
and it's showing you the contents, you know, the notes, maybe they're inside yeah. the calendar reference.
Yeah, it's
and
a nice kind of cosmetic it's thing.
The,
yeah.
The Gmail thing is obviously good, and I think a lot of people like Android because of how googly it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gmail search, I think, again, that, you know, being able to search offline, brilliant, really nice.
Can we talk about the face unlock ridiculousness? Because even on the promo video, which is obviously hyper-edited,
yeah.
it looks like it takes about 20 seconds.
Well,
to work.
Okay, so on the... you see, I saw this first on a hands-on that someone had done, and it worked. And it worked pretty well. And I was like, oh, this is quite impressive.
Yeah.
And then I watched the whole of that demonstration.
Mm.
And in the live demonstration, it doesn't work.
Mm.
It completely fails.
Also, what's the point of it?
Yeah, it's just stupid.
It's a funny thing, but it's just a complete gimmick.
The
it's also, it worries me, because I always don't like the idea of fingerprint scanners, because I think, well, if somebody wants to get into my stuff, they're going to cut my hand off.
Yeah,
well, now they're going to actually cut your head off.
Yeah. Or they could just take a sort of a large A4 size print of your head and just hold it up.
Well, even to do that, they're going to have to crush my head onto the glass of a photocopier whilst pressing down on the thing on top of the photocopier.
But yeah...
that's the only way to take a photo of something.
In theory, it should be excellent, because, you know, to be honest...
Well, even more excellent than having to type in a four-digit PIN.
Well, you see, normally...
Or Google's other excellent. Old thing where you draw
you know, this is a shocking revelation, but my phone isn't even locked, so...
I don't care.
But if that is important to you, having to type in the four digits, it's just vague, a small faff, or doing that little swipe...
The only
it's more of a faff having to hold your phone in front of your face like that, whilst And then you start, you start to feel really self-conscious. And you're like, oh, am I pulling the right face?
Yeah.
And then you can find yourself pulling a series of like...
The only person I know who even uses any kind of security on their phone is my girlfriend, because she knows that if she doesn't, I will write things on her Facebook. Like, but it's ridiculous. If it takes anything upwards of like 5 seconds, it's pointless to me. It's
okay, so that was pointless.
I mean, we've now had...
Yeah.
In the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is, we've had iOS 5 and the iPhone 4, and now Ice Cream Sandwich and the Nexus. What is it actually called? The Nexus Prime, is it, or something?
The Galaxy Nexus.
There we are.
No, that was the Galaxy Nexus before. I'm actually called the Galaxy Nexus
It's called the No, it wasn't the Galaxy Nexus. It was the.
It was just called the Samsung Nexus.
Nexus S was the last one.
Oh, yes.
And now it's Galaxy Nexus.
Right.
Fair enough. Anyway, so we've had all these launches, and there's not been a single thing in any of them that's made me go, wow, that's absolutely amazing. That's going to change my life.
Okay.
Not one. Like, there's been loads of things where I've gone, well, that's quite nice.
Yeah.
Or, you know, well, that's interesting. Or, you know, that's nicked from the other one. Or,
yeah. Yeah. The text-to-speech on this, because it does work quite well already, Google's speech-to-text. It does work quite well already, but you have to say the entire thing, then it goes, ooh, processing, and then it pops it up. This works in real time, which is quite nice. I mean, that to me makes it a more useful feature. I think I could actually see myself using it now.
I can never see myself using that.
Yeah, isn't it another Siri type thing where it's all
You'll do it twice, maybe to show to somebody.
Yeah, say, look at this, isn't this cool? Actually,
but it is quicker. If it's accurate, it's quicker to search or to type a text or whatever using your voice than it is to actually type it.
Well, I dare say it's particularly on it. I mean, because to be honest, the most exciting update that that guy mentioned there was that they've now presumably made the keyboard less shit.
Android keyboard
is just useless.
They've improved the keyboard, they've improved the spell checking. I can see why they've improved the copy and paste, which all look quite good. And importantly...
Yeah, all of which barely work on my Android phone.
Importantly, what they've done is you made it universal across the whole of Android. There was various different copy and paste and things like that. So, yeah, that's an improvement.
I would say this to people who are tempted by this Galaxy Nexus. Judging from... the previous cycle where we had the Nexus S and then shortly after that the Galaxy S2, which is by far a better phone.
Yeah.
And the HTC one before that, where it was the original Nexus, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then the Desire
came out.
I can't help but think that surely the Galaxy S3
is going to be rather similar to this.
It's going to be rather similar, but better.
Wait and see what Samsung and
I would
HTC
hold off and wait.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This is really simple, but brilliant. Resizable widgets.
Yeah, but you could do that anyway with what are they called? Launches, different launches for Android.
Well,
a bit convoluted though.
What you had to do with...
so it's Android.
Your widget designer basically had to design different sizes. With this, you can just... Right, I want it 3 lines by 2.
Yeah. No.
You know, I mean, that's really sweet.
But you could always do that.
Could you?
Yeah, if you go on the App Store, there's loads of things called launchers that reskin it all. Right. And some of them have, actually a lot of them have resized it. And it literally, you can do it 3 by 2, drag and squeeze.
Well, that's quite nice. But it's now standard. There we go.
It makes it easier.
Considering that iOS Android still doesn't have widgets, you know.
Well, they drain the battery.
And also, they're fucking useless. Show me a widget that isn't useless.
All right, on my home screen, I've got my calendar showing my upcoming appointments straight away. That is the most useful thing I have on my phone. There I've got the trains from my local station, where I can see whether they're delayed before I set out. And there the tweets, and then there's my Facebook. They're so useful. I don't have to go into each app.
Do you need to know 24 hours a day when a train is coming into
because
your station?
Because if I'm about to set off the station, I'm usually late, and I'm usually hoping the train's delayed.
Okay.
So I can look straight at that rather than opening an app.
Okay, but to get to Facebook...
rigmarole of opening an app.
So that's your home screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to see the train times, you've got to do a swipe.
One swipe,
right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between doing a swipe and just having an app that you push? See what I mean?
Massive difference.
There's no difference between that.
You would have to wait for the app to open, which could take anything up to a half a second.
Yeah, you see.
Dan's a busy man. You see, we don't have the responsibilities.
He's busy because he has to run to a phone charger every half an hour because of all his widgets.
That's true.
I've got to say that HTC lasts all day, but then it's not got a huge screen, and you know.
That's the thing, because I dare say that phone isn't like that. Yeah, because I wouldn't dream of using widgets on my Android phone because the battery is hopeless as it is. So although, Android is having the last laugh now because apparently the what's the iPhone now called? The 4S, as the battery life on that is. There's issues there.
There are a few grumbles. We'll get onto that. Anyway, there's plenty more news where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Yes, BlackBerry has announced its own new OS, BBX, combining the best of BlackBerry OS with the Playbook's QNX to make a hybrid that will work on smartphones and tablets. It's designed to give business users a completely seamless experience, removing as many steps as possible to make it a pick-up-and-play device for suits.
Meanwhile, RIM has apologised to customers for its service outages and offer a suite of premium apps. worth $100. They include Sims 3, Photo Editor Ultimate, and Shazam on Core. Enterprise customers can also, will also be offered 1 month of free technical support.
Sorry, there was an E missing. The iPhone 4S is seeing record sales, but word is the iPhone 5 will be the real last product to receive Steve Jobs' personal input. An analyst at Rodman Renshaw claims Steve Jobs was involved from drawing board to finished product. It's expected to be unveiled at next year's Apple Developer Conference.
Lytro have unveiled the first mainstream light field camera, allowing you to focus anywhere on the image after you've taken the picture. At $399, it's gone on pre-order for 2012 deliveries, but don't expect to be blown away by anything you print off. Static images are around 2 megapixels max.
They do work, though. They're quite impressive. Sony's personal 3D viewer, the HMZ T1, catchy, has gone on sale in Harrods. Designed to give the illusion of a 3D cinema screen in a device strapped to one's head, it'll set you back a hefty £800.
But wait, Dan. That's money you could be spending on the new Deluxe 5 Titanium Leica.
Oh, I could.
Exactly the same as the standard 5, but in a titanium hue and with a bundled copy of Lightroom 3. It's a limited edition, especially for Christmas. Yours for just £855.
Bargain.
Very reasonable.
I'll have both, I think.
That TV thing is... I mean, they've been like video goggles before, but this is like this massive thing you strap to your head.
I got a press release through about that with all, like, with some models wearing them outside Harrods.
Yes,
it's just
saw
the
that
most
one.
Surreal
yeah.
image I've ever seen.
I'm on Radio 5 Live's Saturday edition on Saturday, and I've got to come up with a ridiculously expensive gadget and a kind of a less than expensive gadget. So yes, it's like, oh, there we go.
Do you want a headache? Hey. Do you want to pay £100 for your headache?
Also £800. So tune in for that. Time to see what you've been posting on the official T3 podcast Facebook group and tweeting to @T3DOTCOM.
Yes, only the official one. Don't accept no imitations.
There is an unofficial one now.
I know, but I think somebody just set that up for a joke.
Yeah,
they?
I think it was.
That's
yes.
a little in-joke.
Yeah.
But mind you, we say that now, and then we'll come back in 6 months' time, and there'll be five million people on that one.
It was set up, and then some people took it seriously and went, oh, I can't believe you've done that. And, the joke kind of wore thin. It was a good joke, I thought. I liked it. I joined.
Everybody was just hurling abuse at the person who set it up. Splitter, Judas.
Anyway, Duncan.
Good news from RIM, says Jamie Ford. Buddy asks, is it enough? Don't know. It's not for Simon White. He wants a free month of BBM for every day the service was out. Sounds reasonable.
Sounds a bit, yeah.
I'd be like, I want £10 for every second that I was unable to...
yeah, why stop there?
Yeah.
It seems only fair.
I want £1 million.
It must be a number that relates to the number of times I was inconvenienced.
Every time I blinked.
And then Jack Malcolmson, this is all from the Facebook group, is it?
Yeah.
Jack Malcolmson asks, where do you buy your Christmas jumpers? Really want to get in the mood, but all the ones I can find are like £60. And for men, presumably. I don't know where Ree gets hers from. I don't think they're going to fit somebody called Jack.
It'll have to remain a mystery. Her jumpers are vintagey hand-me-downs.
I was going to say, they seem quite unique.
Yeah, they are...
So what, someone in her family had a passion for Christmas jumpers?
But like, you know,
if you want
proper, designery.
If you want some fashion tips, Top Man are doing a really good proper Christmas jumper with reindeers across it, with kind of yoke neck for about £40. That is really good. And APC, who are somewhat more expensive and somewhat less novelty, do fantastic knitwear.
Oh, well, there we go. I didn't know we'd get such a complete answer in the absence of Reba. That was actually quite impressive.
And in fact, if APC want to send me some free knitwear, I'd be happy to mention it every week.
Adam, what have you got?
That's a good question.
What hasn't he got?
Where are we? Oh, Leon Fenner says, I can't wait to get my grubby mitts on ice cream sandwich.
Mm. Well, that'd be unhygienic.
Yeah.
Sean Wilkes is also talking about it and saying, love the NFC tools. Touch the Beam has so many potential.
We didn't talk
uses.
About that. Yeah, Touch the Beam. NFC, yeah. Yeah, that is nice.
Sharing.
Yep.
And, sharing.
Andy Lyon.
It's just Bluetooth with knobs on.
Don't tell them.
Well, it is.
Andy Lyon disagrees with me. He says, loving the facial recognition feature for unlocking your phone.
I think we'll wait to see that in practice, Andy.
Because Andy lives in a dream world. Oliver Kademi is well ahead of everyone. He's just ordered the Nexus for £520, so he's also ignored me.
Ouch, yeah. He should have listened and waited for your advice.
See, a couple of years ago, you'd think, God, that's bloody expensive, isn't it? But the iPhone 4S has seemed to reset the bar in terms of expensiveness. And now you think, oh, £520, quite reasonable.
Why not?
For a phone that you used to get
for nothing. It's £520 for something you're going to replace in 12 months.
Not necessarily. Well, I meant probably anybody listening to this podcast.
Anyone who wants to pay £520 straight away,
someone who can't wait.
It's someone who can't wait for the next thing. So
you get an upgrade anyway if you wait long enough. I know it still wouldn't be free.
I've got to wait till
it's his money.
February. It's a lovely phone. I don't, and it'll be nice to have it first. It just, I'm not sure I could stomach that. Leon Fenner, he's been at it again. Actually, asking, is iOS 5 draining batteries? Or is this just another exaggeration like AntennaGate?
I asked Luke about this.
Yeah.
And he says there is a bit of an issue, but it's not.
The thing is, Luke has also been non-stop Siri action all day, all night, I think, since he's had that. So that probably does drain the battery.
Well, people are complaining about the 4S's battery.
Well, he said, funnily enough, that for when you're using it, it doesn't seem like the battery runs down as fast as it did on the 4.
Right.
But when it's on standby, when it shouldn't be doing anything, you come back after half an hour and pick it up and suddenly it's drained more than you anticipate.
We may have the answer. Shay Samantha Eccleston. My devices are running slowly and the batteries aren't lasting as long as they did before the update. Yasser Charisma reports the same but says all smartphone batteries drain quicker over time. Still last longer than most Android phones. Huh? concurring perhaps with Duncan. Stuart Gordon's blaming the new location-based reminders because the GPS drains the battery.
That's the thing. I mean, there is definitely things that if you want your battery to last, everybody knows you have to turn
off.
It does make you wonder why they even bother including
the blame
them
does seem
thing,
to be centering but on them. Mark Crawley says the same, actually, but adds, my iPhone 4 seems to be running quicker than usual. So there we are.
That's the thing. I think the differences are so small a lot of the time. But then things, you get it in your head. Because I'm as guilty of this as anybody. You, particularly if you've just read about something, You suddenly think, oh, I'm sure this app is opening like a bit slower than it used to open. And then you just become fixated on it. But you've no way of knowing because you can't go back to where it was opening before.
It's when they get
and time it. You can't go back in time. And
and the statistics say, it's going to run 520% faster than before. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I suppose when Apple does come out and says, well, everything's 10 times faster and the battery lasts twice as long.
Yeah.
If you take that at face value, you might be a bit upset when you discover they're talking out their ass.
Do you know what? I think my graphics are 6 times faster, not 7 times faster.
Now then.
Feel horribly let down.
Yes. Has anyone bothered to get a gadget of the week?
Yep, here it is. It's in my pocket. It's the Motorola Razr.
You've got it in your pocket, have you?
Yep.
Are you lying, Adam?
It's very slim.
No, we haven't got one here. But
I was surprised.
I was going to go with a Lytro if you didn't have anything. But go on, Razr, raise me up.
Well, it's the rebirth.
Or
of
you raise me up.
It's the return of an icon, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the return of an icon in the sense that it was a series of phones that everybody hated, apart from the very first
one.
The very first one, which everyone loved.
And then Motorola absolutely flogged that donkey till it was dead. Deader than dead.
When I first joined T3, I had a Motorola Razr on me at that point. Yeah. I don't know why, because it wasn't brand new at the time. It was quite old, in fact.
Well, they kind of came back to life as pay-as-you-go phones, didn't they? Because they started off as stupidly expensive.
Yeah, you still used to see them around for years after they first came out. Years after they weren't really.
And yes, trendy. In the days before Android, Motorola were making their own operating systems, and it was a bloody nightmare to get around. But it was a damn nice phone.
Lovely looking thing.
Whereas this new one, to be honest,
yeah, it doesn't.
It's a Razer in name only. There's no. Yeah. It's not like a kind of nice flip open. It doesn't look anything like the original, and it but it doesn't. I suppose you wouldn't want to release something that looks literally the same as a six-year-old phone, but at least something that takes some of the design cues from it,
yeah,
and makes
like
a similarly...
Like a new Beetle or a new Mini, you know.
I think it's...
Yeah, that would be a fair... Whereas this is more like...
If you're going to leave it a few years, like they have done, and then go, right, Razer, it's coming back, I would expect it to be so incredibly thin that it's like a leap forward in technology. Rather than what it is, it just looks kind of like, you know, the phones that they're already making.
Why don't they revive the brick?
Yeah. Really big fat phones.
Yeah, that'd be good. You can buy a replica of, because the bricks were all analog, so you can't actually use them anymore. But someone's now made a GSM version of the brick. So
well, it lets people know that you own a very large phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because there was like, before the smartphone era dawned, I mean, all the phone manufacturers were into trying to make their phone, everyone had one in their range that was really, really thin.
Or
and,
tiny.
And did people really like them? Because, I mean, they just feel flimsy by definition because they are so thin. Maybe it was made of literally like a strip of titanium.
That
wasn't
well,
you
that
can
was
make
it.
A bit,
yes,
you can make it really rigid and really thin. But then I think it's uncomfortable to hold. I mean, what's meant to be good about a phone that's really thin?
I think its time has kind of passed, because when I had the Razer, what I liked about it was I had like a normal, you know, iPod Classic. And so I wanted a phone that would fit in my pocket with that and wouldn't be really bulgy. Whereas now, obviously, you know, my phone is my music player as well.
There we go.
Do everything from one device.
Yeah.
So you won't be queuing up for the Razer then, is that what you're saying?
I think it's just yet another in an endlessly long line of terrible Motorola phones. And although some people seem to have got into their head, they've had a bit of renaissance with things like the Droid or whatever it was called over here. I thought that was rubbish as well. And like the one that plugs into a laptop... Well, what's the point of that, you know? So I think Motorola have been terrible for a very long period of time,
the
and this
damning,
just extends that.
So yeah, gadget of the week.
Okay, last week, this was going to be our feature. We asked you to pose your questions for Siri, but they're going to have to wait another week because Ree's not here. So
we have no iPhone 4S. I haven't managed to blag a free one. And
Don't worry. We will put those questions to Siri. Do not fret. But it's going to happen next week. Instead, we have a lovely new copy of D3 magazine.
Something much better.
Much, much better. Which has, I noticed, the Sony 3D.
Well, it's got everything. I mean,
front.
Basically here we've got the best gadget of all time, which obviously is the 3D television that you strap to your face. I mean, it's never going to get better than that. A way to print your own money.
Okay.
With an investigation into Bitcoin, which I'd love to be able to give you a very brief and excellent précis of now, but I can't because it's too unbelievably mind-meltingly complicated.
I still don't understand it.
So you'll have to read the 7-page article that we've come up with.
Okay.
And then there's the Galaxy Note. God, remember that? That was the hot phone about 6 weeks ago. Well, that's monthly magazines for you.
Yeah.
But the most important thing of all, the greatest gadgets of 2011, because
Hooray!
It's the awards issue.
Yep. And here they all are in the...
You know, not
awardee glory.
Not forgetting that this issue is the redesign issue.
I was going to say, yeah, I suppose I should have mentioned
that. So go on,
all entirely brand spangly.
Now, hold on a minute.
New.
I was promised a new T3 logo.
It is new.
It is. It's in a red box.
The red box is larger and squarer.
Is that it?
What do you mean, is that it?
Well, I mean...
We paid over £10 million to a consultant to come up with that.
It used to be a different colour every month.
Yeah.
And not in a box. And
so what?
Box.
Now it's always going to be the same colour every month?
Yes.
And always in the same box.
To align with the new look t3.com and the iPad.
Okay, I can see... Yeah, I can see it's different.
What else
can we
do? This?
It's subtle, though.
The logo. All the things.
All the stuff.
So what else? Go on.
Also, there's the tech
live
section.
Yeah, the main... change, main improvement, main whatever you want to call it, is the Tech Life.
Okay.
Which is on a different and really rather lovely paper stock. So you can tell that it's a different and new thing. And it's basically about how tech fits into your life as a modern man.
So it's a sort of a magazine within a magazine.
Also,
that's very well put, Dan.
Yeah. Also, I am on page 137 in my dressing gown.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something to look out for?
With
my shock of red hair.
Oh, there's a new picture of me.
Oh.
My army of fans will be pleased to know there's a picture of me in which I'm not wearing a Freddy Krueger jumper.
Oh, someone had pointed this out.
Whilst screaming
on
like I've got
on the Facebook group.
Piles.
And an entirely new font.
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 Font. Font.
Is it?
Yeah, new fonts.
It's called Roboto.
It's also...
That was a clever reference to what happened earlier. Yes, it's
our biggest issue for a while as
it
well.
It is chunky.
And the Christmas issue, which is we're working on now, which is will be
is
out in
enormous.
2 or 3 weeks, is massive. Can barely be lifted by humans. It's also, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's a slightly different size and shape.
Oh.
Yes, because we've completely refreshed the look and feel of the magazine. Okay. And as with the logo... A layperson might not immediately pick it up.
Again.
But subconsciously, it's going to filter through and you're going to be like, well, this is a much better product.
Again, it's subtle. Yes.
People have been coming up to me and saying, Duncan, I loved the magazine anyway. There's something about it this month that just seems even better.
Yeah, more spatially aware people may suffer vertigo when they pick it up.
Yeah. Okay. they feel themselves warping.
Rather impressively, there are pictures from the T3 Awards night.
They're from a party we did before the T3 Awards.
Okay. I was impressed. Oh, I see. Right, this is the end of summer party.
Ben, I'm not being funny. This issue was on the tables at the T3 Awards. How could it possibly have pictures from the T3
Awards?
Well,
I would have been impressed, you see.
Mm-hmm. I should have pretended they
when
were.
You used to get the Manchester
like
News,
a trick.
When you used to get the Manchester News pink, as you came out the football ground, it had the results printed on it.
Yeah,
there was a little
photos,
man printing
though,
them there. You know, you could have done that.
You didn't have photos of you coming out and being handed a newspaper. Now that would be good.
How meta.
Yes.
Heavy meta.
Perhaps for the iPad edition.
Here's a thing that I should mention. This isn't the greatest feature in the magazine, it's basically it's kind of like an advert for Orange, who I was singing the praises of earlier. the T3 Awards is now over, but it's not quite over because there's now the T3 Awards Roadshow.
What?
Which... Putting a less of a positive spin on it essentially means Luke will be going to a series of orange shops in major cities and standing around after hours
he's
tour with some warm white wine.
He's going to tour shopping centres.
It's like the X Factor tour.
Hey, we should get in on this.
So you can get down. Well, I think I'm going to the one.
We could take the podcast on the road.
I think I'm actually going to the one in Birmingham. I agreed to go to the one in Birmingham. That's next week on the 27th.
Oh.
And then he's in London on November the 2nd.
Right.
And then... in Manchester on November the 14th. It's a worldwide tour.
If you want to buy a Samsung Galaxy S off of a magazine editor, then...
let's see if we can hook up with Luke.
He's going to be standing by the budget pay-as-you-go phones aisle going, it's a nice little feature on that one there. Mm. So if you press that button there, you see it's got facial recognition.
Okay.
Doesn't always work.
Just very, very quickly, say, in the Tech Life section on the how-to spread, anyone who is holding it now may be confused. It's not meant to say the word Mintu. It's meant to just be a collection of random letters.
What page is this on? 1-5?
On 164.
164.
It's talking about an app that records your partner talking in their sleep or you talking in sleep. It's meant to just be a collection of random letters, not Mintu.
Mintu, which is a new word meaning things you say in your sleep. There we are.
So let's put that one to bed.
Excellent. Good.
I like the fact that you're recording your partner speaking in their sleep, and your partner is a man in this case. It's very, very progressive.
Yeah. And
obviously, nobody mentioned that to the illustrator.
Well, the people who design the magazine can't read.
Excellent. Well, look, you know.
I'm sure. Well,
modern times.
We must have loads of gay readers of this magazine. They just skip past the pictures of the women.
There's at least one. You know.
Well, yes, we'll have more now that there's male models in the main feature.
Yeah, actually, this magazine is.
Oh yeah, I've got male models.
No, you can't mention it. It's at least 50% gayer than it used to be.
You're right. Look, there's a lot of.
We've been working hard to ensure
there's a lot of man in there.
It's foaming at the pages with barely suppressed homoerotic desire.
Basically, that is about all.
You won't get that in stuff.
That is about all for this week. Remember, teether.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.